Hey, teenagers, I don't know if you'll be happy about this, but you're going to be with us today. You may or may not have gotten an outline, but if you would please turn to Daniel chapter 3. Yes, we are still in Daniel, and we are at a point in which that which should be very familiar to many believers. So Daniel chapter 3. Today's passage, as the outline states, starts in verse 19, Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen in their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other god that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can trust it and that it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I ask that you would use your word today to feed your flock. Would I not give my own opinion, but would I declare your word clearly and in power. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last week, I intended to start this lesson, but probably no surprise, we just ended up finishing the last lesson. So we have a fresh outline this morning, and kind of picking up in the middle of this controversy, but the good news is, for many Christians, hopefully this story is very familiar. In Sunday school, most Sunday schools, the main story is taught. In many churches across the country, you know, we have Jonah and the whale, Noah's Ark, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so on. I will say, and just a plug for our Sunday schools, the kids have a systematic teaching through most of the Bible stories in the Old and New Testament. And not only that, they learn missionary stories, memorize God's word, and so on. So it's a great thing. But we pick up in the middle of this story. We know, based on the context in Daniel chapter 3, that Nebuchadnezzar had been lifted up in pride. He created this 90-foot-tall statue, blazed gold all over it, brought the most powerful men and their families and so on, entourages, to the plain of Dura, and had a bait and switch. He had told them, hey, we're going to have a dedication of this image. And then he said, when they got there, you're going to bow down to it. We know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Jewish names, their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, but they were renamed by, I believe, Nebuchadnezzar with Babylonian names. We will go with their names as written in the context here, but just be aware that that's them. They stood true to the word of God. We went over last week the envy of the unnamed individuals who, in a colloquial term, ratted out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? Remember, they came in and they said, hey, these Jews, right? And not only did they not bow down to your image, they don't even worship your gods on a regular basis. They worship this other god called Jehovah, right? Well, I would be with the three, amen? So obviously, that's where we pick up. Verse 19 here, I've got to go back here. Verse 19, we pick up. Interestingly, in my Bible, I have the paragraph markers. In the original text, this starts a new paragraph. I don't know why, but it does. And it starts here with Nebuchadnezzar's response. Remember, in verse 18, let's start in verse 17, verse 16, we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And last week I went over some keys of what it takes to stand for truth. Okay, what it takes to stand for truth. And if I can remember them, I should have put them in my notes. But the first thing is, you must be willing to stand alone. You must be willing to lose everything. Right? You must be willing. What was the third one? You must stand with other good people. And then the last one that I did not give you is that while you may have to stand alone, you will never stand alone. And so I know I gave you some bad news last week, right? But the truth is, you never will. And that's where we pick up today. You may have to be willing to stand alone. You may have to be willing to lose everything. You may be very lonely at times, but you never will be totally alone. These three young men had defied Nebuchadnezzar to his face and were bracing themselves for the consequences. Roman numeral 1 here, the putting into the inferno. The putting into the inferno. And letter A, the choler, C-H-O-L-E-R, of the king. Verse 19 says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Full of fury. You know, there's an interesting verse in the Bible, I believe in the book of Proverbs, that says, only by pride cometh what? Contention. And can you believe, I believe my childhood was helping me prepare for this time, right? And my brother and I work together in the ministry now. And I support him and help him as he pastors this church, okay? But can you imagine two younger brothers? We fought. Can you believe that? And not just with words, all right? There were other things involved, and that rhymes with fists, okay? And anyway, we sometimes were at each other. And my parents would come to us and they would say, they would quote this verse, only by pride cometh contention. And they would say, either one of you is full of pride or the other, but most likely both of you. And so the key to solving contention is to first check your pride at the door. Isn't that interesting? Nebuchadnezzar was at a boiling over with pride, wasn't he? I would like to draw a connection to the dream that he had. He was the golden head, remember? He was the best, the top Gentile empire for the whole course of the world. He, 20 years later, 18 years later, builds this golden image. He's full of pride. He has the audacity to require not only people to attend this meeting, but to prostrate themselves in front of an inanimate object. And then he threatens them to kill them in a very uncomfortable manner. Okay, that's pride, wouldn't you say? Leopold, last name, an author here, he says he will have found it very unusual in a court abounding in flatterers and sycophants to find one, or in this case three, who dared to oppose him to his face. This angered the king to the extreme. Have you ever seen a toddler who's never heard the word no from an adult who meant it? Yeah? Can I say this? We need to be told no sometimes, even as adults. It's not healthy for us to get absolutely everything we can possibly want. Now, in my cabinet downstairs, if you walk in my apartment, I shouldn't be telling you this, okay? But you walk in my apartment, top right-hand corner, you open it up. On the top shelf are all our games, and the next is our candy, all right? And Costco just had the sale, and there's these little Hershey's, but they're not the regular Hershey's. They have almonds in it, and then they have dark chocolate with almond. They're amazing, okay, right? And I have at least one every day, okay? And they were on sale, so I bought two bags, right? Amazing. You know, sometimes I walk in, I look at that cabinet, and I say, you know, it's only 40 calories to eat one of those little things, but I should probably tell myself no. It is not good or healthy, or can I say biblical, to give into the flesh every time the flesh wants it. Do you realize that you're in a battle against the flesh? What does the Bible say? We sin when we're what? Drawn away by our own flesh and enticed. If we feed the flesh, we're feeding the enemy. Now, I know Hershey bars are pretty innocent, unless you eat all 145 pieces in the bag, which we did in a week one time, and we thought, we got to hold back, you know. But the flesh is the enemy. Nebuchadnezzar was not used to being told no, and his pride was injured. His pride was injured. Here it says, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. Remember earlier on, he was in an evil kind of manipulative way, saying, you know, maybe give you another chance. And verse 15, he'll say, well, you know, I'm going to have the music play again, then go bow down. And they just told him flat out, no, we're not. Even if you give us another chance, we're not going to do it. He was angry. So A, the choler of the king, and B, the command by the king. The command by the king. And he was angry. It says here, therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Seven times hotter. Now we don't know. I know. I'm amazed at how many times I read biblical men. Amen. I try to find people who believe in the biblical inspiration of God's word, but sometimes they address the attacks of modernists or unbelievers, I would say, who try to say, oh, did they actually heat the furnace seven times hotter? Or is this an error? I think that's ridiculous. I think if it says it, it's the truth. But even if it is, it could be a saying that they had. Heat it up as hot as possible. Or seven times hotter. What's interesting here is that this actually ended up proving the miracle. We'll get to that a little bit later. But the extent of the heat folded into the plan of God. And then verse 20, it says, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Now, it's interesting here, and I won't dwell on this because I don't want to speculate too much, okay? But later in the chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is shocked that what? What is he shocked at? Well, he's shocked that they're alive, okay? But he's also shocked at the fact that they're loose. He says, four men, what? Loose, right? I always imagined that they were bound with some type of rope that burnt off. Actually, I was told that in Sunday school. Yeah, the ropes just burnt off, whatever, and they did. But I'm picturing something flammable. Friends, it may not have been flammable. It could have been an even bigger miracle than we had imagined. He had the strongest men in the entire kingdom, in the entire army, bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, can I remind you that the Babylonian army had just conquered basically all the known militaries in the region. They had conquered Israel. They had conquered Egypt. They had conquered, I believe, Assyria. Now, there was this little kingdom of Persia up there that ended up conquering them some decades later. But they had subdued the known world. And these would be like the Navy SEALs of the military. He says, you know what? You're here for this whole thing. I want you, of all people, to bind up these men. He was making decisions out of anger. Can I say this? You ought not to make decisions in anger. Yeah, sometimes we're in the flesh, and we should not get angry. It's not good. The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And people say, well, it's righteous anger. I'm sorry about that. It's righteous anger. How do you know? How do you know it's righteous anger? Did God tell you it's righteous, or maybe it's you just wanting to excuse your wrath? Cool off before you make a decision that affects the rest of your life. And I'm saying this as somebody who does sometimes boil over a little bit. But I try to give it over to God, but never make a decision. And that includes children, especially children. He made this decision, and it ended up coming back to bite him. Letter C. So we have A, the choler; B, the command of the king; C, the casualty. C-A-S-U-A-L-T-I-E-S. The casualties of the fire. Verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, I have said this until I'm blue in the face, right? But does the Bible waste words? No. Why in the world would the Bible say that they were bound totally with all of their to-do, right? Now, we don't wear the same type of clothing, but they had whatever they would wear. Obviously, they described it. Their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments. Most likely more of a robe form. Okay? Why would the Bible include this? We'll see later. Maybe you'd be interested, right? Another part of the plan of God. I often find, and this is a bit of a side note, but I hope it helps. I always find it most interesting when unsaved, ungodly, God-hating men and women fulfill God's prophecy. Isn't that interesting? Do you think the Romans were reading scripture and trying to make sure that they fulfilled prophecy about the crucifixion? No, but they didn't break the legs of Jesus. They were not reading scripture and saying, well, let me make sure I pierce the side of the Messiah. And yet they did. Nebuchadnezzar, in his own wrath, somehow was proving God right. We'll get to that. See the casualties, verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Slew them. Now, I don't know if you guys heard, but there were a couple of homes that were burnt down on Fort Hall a couple days ago. And we drove by them yesterday, and it just looks like a charred mess. And thankfully, I don't believe anybody was hurt, but a lot of people's possessions were just totally destroyed by fire. And can I say this? What a way to go, and not in a good way. I know that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But I don't want to spend eternity there. Fire is no fun. And I can't imagine the heat it would take to be just in proximity of this and it take you out. Remember, these weren't just like guys working in a cubicle at a computer. These were the strongest men, the equivalent of our Navy SEALs or our Army Rangers or our Delta Force, the best of the best military in the world, and they just got in proximity to the fire and they were dead. Why? It says, what's the cause? Because the king's command was urgent. The king's command was urgent. Remember, when we make decisions in anger, I'm not saying that you'll ever throw somebody in a fiery furnace, but can I say this? Our anger can be like fire. And in our anger, we can make decisions and proclamations that cause people to be harmed. And another reason is the furnace was very hot. Now, this is in my notes, it's not in yours. The cost of the casualties. It says the fire slew these men. Again, this went to prove God's miracle. Okay, it proved God's miracle. These were some of Nebuchadnezzar's best men. But can I say this? Their peril came in obeying an evil ruler. Let me ask you a question. Would they have died if they told Nebuchadnezzar, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't believe this is right. Can somebody else do this? Nebuchadnezzar, in his wrath, would probably have taken them out. Right? But let me ask you a question. Did they not die anyway? Right? They did. And not only that, they died persecuting the beloved of God, or some of the beloved. They did not have to die in their sins. They made a choice. I believe in obeying the laws. As much as I can't stand those variable speed limits, I just imagine this vindictive person behind there. They see me leave for work 5 minutes late and they turn the speed limit down to 55 when it was 70 yesterday. And I have everything clocked out, right? And I thought, oh, there goes me being on time today, right? We ought to obey laws, friends. We ought to. But when we have confidence that it would directly go against God's commands, let them destroy our bodies, but my soul is going to stand before God. These men made a choice. Roman numeral 2, the preserving and the inferno. The preserving in the inferno, P-R-E-S-E-R-V-I-N-G. This is the good part. Well, the whole thing is a good part, amen? The preserving, in letter A, the confounding, verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Do you know the definition of a miracle? God acting in a way that is not in accordance to his natural law. Some people say, well, I remember I was at school, and I love some of those people, don't get me wrong, but I was at school and they said, you know, is it actually a miracle or is it just providence? And they would have this big discussion about it. And I just say, did God do something special for you? Did he interrupt the natural laws of nature? It's a miracle, friends. Can I say this? It's a miracle to have somebody who's set in sin and rejection of their Savior come to him in repentance. I know I do not call Dairy Queen bringing back a new dessert a miracle. That's sacrilegious, okay? But when God does something, give Him the glory. It is not just a good thing to do, it is commanded. And we will see here, I preached a sermon about last year sometime, how on this exact passage, and I'll kind of give you a recap about it, but the whole thrust of the message was, the people who do not already believe in the Word of God, do not have some foundation in the Word of God, will not agree with what we have to say. They will not even consider it unless they see God work in our lives first. Do you know that seeing God do miracles is necessary for really reaching souls for Christ? It's part of soul winning. It's part of reaching the people around you. If they realize that, wait a minute, those fires should have destroyed those three men and they didn't, maybe they'll give it a second thought. Friends, this world has to see miracles or they will not even give the Word of God a second chance. Notice here, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Astonished is just the old English way of saying astonished. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king, and he, 25, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Who saw four men loose? Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar did. We are not in the fire with these men. This story is told from outside of the fire. Do you think God made a mistake there? No, of course, he never makes mistakes. Ever. Conditions in the preserving. Conditions. Lo, I see four men loose. Nebuchadnezzar, the evil dictator, saw four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like that of the Son of God. Some believe, myself included, that this, the fourth, being like the Son of God, was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. But I believe that with all my heart, okay? Some people, again, they attack that idea because of Nebuchadnezzar's apparent ignorance of the one true God. So there's some verbiage he uses in the original text that they said, did he actually say Jesus, right? Did he actually say the Son of God? Friends, if he looks like the Son of God, he probably is the Son of God. Last time I saw, I haven't seen anybody with blazing eyes, pure white hair, and feet as brass. That wasn't the Son of God. Okay? I'm sorry I'm being so testy about that, but I get tired of people attacking the Bible for no good reason. Only bad ones, right? All right, let her see the command after the preserving. The command, he says, Nebuchadnezzar came near. Verse 26, I'm sorry for not giving that to you. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. Now, this was a danger to him. Remember, those very powerful men, they probably were still lying there. Next, nobody else wanted to go pick them up. But he came near and he called out into the fire. Said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Isn't it interesting that Nebuchadnezzar had to ask them to come out? Because if he would have gone in, he would have died. If he would have sent somebody else in, they would have died. He was just angry, throwing him into a fiery furnace, and now he's in the position of begging. Wow. I'd like to just think about that for a time, but we won't. We'll keep going. But you know, the Bible says, meditate on God's word. I'm here to teach. right? But take this home and meditate on it. Think on these things. Sometimes, when you're in the middle of a trial and you're watching God work, you're untouchable. Isn't that cool? I know that's not a dignified thing to say in a pulpit. But as a Gen Zer, I'm not really sure. My vocabulary is more limited. That's amazing. Can I say this? I think awesome is used too much, but that's awesome. He had to ask them to come out. And D, the confirming of the preserving. And the princes and governors, verse 27, captains and all these, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had brought the most powerful men and their entourages here in the entire empire, the known world. Again, do you think God made a mistake there? He goes, you know what? I'm going to bring everybody that's in charge of this entire empire, and I'm going to prove myself by a few obedient young men who are not afraid of earthly fire, but they are afraid of eternal fire. Number one, the crowd of men. It's confirmed why. Because everybody that was anybody saw it. The princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men in here, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Amen? Why? Because, you know, God created fire. You think he could keep it away from them? They gathered together. They saw these men. And what's interesting, I always thought about this, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Now, we know this. We had a church camp. You go sit around a fire. You just are near a fire. You smell like smoke. They went into the fire. Now, remember what I said. Proof, right? Number one, the proof. It was hot. All of these men saw the most mighty men in the military die just getting near the fire. These men didn't die. They all saw that. Why did the Bible say that they had all of their robes and everything, even their hats on? Why? Because God was going to show them that not even the smoke would get into their clothes. Amazing. Amazing. God proved himself. And I'm going to take the last 3 minutes. It's pretty fast here. Roman numeral 3, the proclaiming after the inferno. And letter A, the adoration in the proclaiming. A-D-O-R-A-T-I-O-N, the adoration in the proclaiming. It says here, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants. There it is. This is a biblically illiterate man, though king of Babylon, though Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as counselors, he is biblically illiterate. So he's changing what he called this son of man that looked like the son of God, right? Just realize this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking, who has no background in biblical Christianity. But I want to point out a few things before we go. Nebuchadnezzar was not giving his sole devotion to God. He was amazed at what God did. But we'll find later, it takes a while, another test, a couple tests in the life of Nebuchadnezzar for him to totally subject himself to Jehovah God. Okay? And we'll get to that. It's actually kind of crazy. Many polytheists will try to add Jesus to their shelves of gods, their proverbial shelves of gods. But true salvation comes when one not only repents from sin, but they repent from false belief. They let go. Still, the acknowledgement of God as the deliverer was a positive effect. Now, I'm not going to go over the proclamation of what Nebuchadnezzar would do to these individuals. We've already gone over the brutality of this. However, I want you to point out, I'll give you letter B and letter C, the anathema, A-N-A-T-H-E-M-A, and the advancing. That will be his you know, threat. If anybody speaks against this God, I'm going to destroy you, essentially. And then he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But before we go, I want you to notice what he noticed about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Middle of verse 28. His servants that trusted him, his servants. Psalm 84:10, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Servants. His servants that trusted him. Do you trust God with everything? When I say everything, I mean everything. And have changed the king's word. And hear this, yielded their bodies. Where have we heard this? Does that sound like Romans chapter 12? Right? Giving our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That why? That they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. I have a question before we pray and go into the break. Do people see you as a servant of the Most High God? Do they see miracles in your life? Or are we so unwilling to go through the pain of facing a fiery furnace that we do not get to live through the glory of being delivered from one? Food for thought before we go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your leading. Thank you for your power to deliver, your ability to deliver, and your love for us, that you want to deliver your servants. Thank you that we can be a doorkeeper in the house of our God. We love you, Lord. Please lead in this next service with the music and the preaching today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have about 9 minutes before the morning service starts.